White, J.E. White, Emma. Pennsylvania Sanitarium, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, June 16, 1909. Elder J.E. White. My children, Edson and Emma. We have been here at the sanitarium since Friday, June 11th. Elder Starr and his wife are with us. W.C. White is as busy as he can be in Washington. Brother and Sister Starr came the first part of the week, expecting to go with us to New York. They brought us the news that Elder Prescott's automobile was crushed between two streetcars while he was driving through the city. Brother Prescott was the only one in the automobile at the time of the accident, and he escaped unharmed. On the morning of the day we left Washington, I attended a meeting held in the seminary building and spoke to the brethren assembled some very plain words concerning the destitute fields and the great work that must be done in many places. I urged them not to hold the ministers at Tacoma Park, because there is a work to be done all through our cities that have not heard the truths of the third angel's message. Some did not take willingly to the idea of losing Elder Prescott, but I spoke plainly to them, the last time, perhaps, that I shall speak to them. The physical creation testifies of God and of Christ as creator of all things. All things were made by him. John 1, verse 3. And he who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined into our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6. This knowledge, the knowledge of the glory of God, is the highest class of learning that mortals can obtain. And this treasure we have in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Verse 7. Human fallacies are abundant and specious. Unseen agencies are at work to make falsehood appear as truth. Errors are clothed with a deceptive garb that man may be led to accept them as essential to a higher education. And these fallacies will deceive many of our students unless they are thoroughly guarded, and unless they are led by the Spirit of God to take the grand and holy truths of the Word into their hearts and minds, accepting these as the principles underlying the higher education. No instruction can exceed in value the pure instruction of God, which comes for the enlightenment of all who will be enlightened. Our students must be educated to understand that there can be no education higher than that which was given by the great teacher to the world. We must guard our students from temptation by making the sacred truths of the Word of God the basis of their education. This higher knowledge, the knowledge of the glory of God, is to shine into their hearts, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of men. I am instructed to say to teachers, you will need to be constantly imbued with the power of the Holy Spirit if you would guard against the deceptive wiles of Satan. Your instructor must be the one who gave himself to the work of unmasking Satan's devices. The truths of the Word of God will be covered with the interpretations of men, and these interpretations will be presented as essential for all who would obtain a higher education. These representations will be accepted by some minds because they present such wonderful advantages. They will deceive, if that were possible, the very elect by making of none effect the warnings of Christ. Warn every student that he must be wide awake. Let this truth be firmly fixed upon the mind by our ministers and by all who in faith are acting a part to rid the human mind of error, that there can be no higher education than that which came forth from him who gave his life that humanity might grasp divinity and fallen man become one with God. The teacher who is so foolish as to think that he can give to the student a more perfect knowledge than that given by the great teacher, Christ Jesus, is ignorant of what constitutes the higher education. The voice said, "Cry." And he said, "What shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass." Isaiah 40, verse 6, 7. The prophet Isaiah sets forth the work of Christ in the world in the following words: "He shall not fail, nor be discouraged, till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law."
Thus saith God the Lord: He that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth, and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and spirit to them that walk therein. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I will tell you of them. Isaiah 42, verse 4 to 9. I ask you to study the 40th to the 42nd chapters of Isaiah. If you will do this prayerfully and carefully, you will receive instruction that will teach you that you need not dishonor God by putting into the minds of students a desire for a worldly education. Men and women bring reproach upon God when they place human instructors before the teachings of the God of heaven. Oh, that our people would come to their senses and follow the instruction of their Maker. Verily, thou art a God that hidest thyself, O God of Israel, the Saviour. They shall be ashamed, and also confounded, all of them. They shall go to confusion together, that are makers of idols. But Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. Ye shall not be ashamed nor confounded, world without end. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I have not spoken in secret, in a dark place of the earth. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, Seek ye my face in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. Assemble yourselves and come. Draw near together, ye that are escaped of the nations. They have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven image, and pray unto a God that cannot save. Tell ye, and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Have not I the Lord, and there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Saviour? There is none beside me. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear. Surely, shall one say, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength. Even to him shall man come, and all that are incensed against him shall be ashamed. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified. and shall glory. Isaiah 45, verse 15 to 25. Study the 50th to the 56th chapters of Isaiah, and also the 60th to the 63rd chapters. They contain precious instruction and assurances. When students' minds are diverted from the precious truths of the Word of God to the instructions of worldly teachers, in order that they may stand as reliable teachers of others, they are seeking for an education that they do not need. The principles that underlie the teachings of the Word, these are the lessons that should be impressed upon the minds and hearts of the students. They are to be appreciated as the highest instruction there is for them to obtain, whatever may be their age, or whatever may be the line of work for which they are preparing. I am charged to lift up the standard, and to say to our people, at this time, when every conceivable thing is being brought in to confuse the people of God, let your spiritual eyesight be strengthened. Let your faith in the Word of God be firm. Know for yourselves that the words and teachings of Christ, which are the words and teachings of Jehovah, contain the highest instruction it is possible for man to gain. When any would seek to confuse your minds, repeat to them the words of Christ. No man can serve two masters. Matthew 6, verse 24. Let the word of the Lord stand forth clearly and distinctly. We have a work to do, an individual work that no one can do for us. It is for our eternal interest that we each do our specified work. I have spoken once in Philadelphia, taking for my scripture reading the 15th chapter of John. I spoke for 1 hour to a crowded house. I had much freedom in speaking. There were about 200 people present, a sensible-looking company. But I've been very sick since that day. The meeting house was closely packed, and the impurity of the air, caused by the many breaths, poisoned me. This morning I almost decided that I could not speak again in a crowded house. But I understand that in New York there is to be a tent erected, and that will improve the situation.
One day I rode out in an automobile for several hours, and the many automobiles spinning past so affected my eyes that I have been suffering with them ever since. I am in confusion of mind as to what is my duty. I see a great work to be done, yet I feel unable to represent this in a way that it will be comprehended by the people. My mind is clear and active, but my head troubles me. I am in perplexity. It may be that if I remove to a more healthful climate, these difficulties will disappear. I need to be where I can have exercise, but I see no hope of getting this by changing to New York. If I could get to Melrose, I think I could take some treatment and be better. Thursday. We leave Philadelphia tomorrow. We have been very favorably situated here, but I cannot help feeling that good common sense was lacking when the purchase of this place for a sanitarium was made, where the building would have to be wedged in between other buildings as this is. Our people have had instruction in regard to establishing our sanitariums out of the cities, where there could be plenty of space, and where the patients could be encouraged to spend much time out of doors. A mistake was made in investing money, even though it was a little, in the purchase of this place. It is injustice to the sick to bring them to an institution thus situated. May God help our physicians and our students to learn what is the true higher education, and this it is the privilege of all to obtain. I must stop now, for writing this letter has tired me very much. I shall be glad to hear from you after we are located in New York. We meet W.C. White there tomorrow. I have had some relief from pain today, and my eyes are improving. The Lord understands my case, and He can help me.